Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
I stumbled across a truly stunning example of journalism. Yesterday in The Atlantic, the article was titled, Leave Joe Biden Alone. Biden's been a good president, but Republicans want to impeach him and Democrats want to replace him. This is where we're at now. Joe Biden has made such an atrocious mess of our country that his pet media can't even defend him anymore. They have to just beg us to leave him alone. Well, I'm sorry, we're not going to leave him alone, not while his decisions and actions are tangibly hurting not only me, but you and everybody else. This is our country here, and you know, you have a responsibility to us to do something that is productive in the nation. If you're doing something impeachable, well, Republicans might impeach you. If you're doing something that makes you replaceable, the Democrats might replace you. That's how this works. You do not get a break from us when you're demolishing everything we've worked to build. So as far as I'm concerned, the media struggling to cover your ass is no better than this dude.
Leave Biden alone! Please.
Stu does America.
BlazeTV.com/Stu is the place to go to subscribe to Blaze TV. Use the promo code Stu to save $10. Glenn Beck will be here with his typically sunny disposition regarding the future of our country. We'll tell you which pitiful Democrats voted against protecting our Supreme Court justices. But we start by doing Biden's economic freefall. Ah, yes, here we are. There seems to be a decision being made here by the White House, and they are realizing we are in a little bit of trouble here. Things aren't going so well. They're pulling out all the stops. They're bribing Saudi Arabia. They're doing all sorts of crazy stuff to try to limit the damage. But in general, I think they're coming to a realization, a real point in this cycle where despair sets in. And, you know, it's like the five stages of grief. They've reached acceptance at this point. And they're looking at this and they're saying, OK, the midterms are coming. We are going to lose. We are going to lose in a very big way. We're going to lose control of the government. So what do we do? Well, maybe we be honest with ourselves and we say, look, we're going to lose. So let's rip the Band-Aid off. Let's go right now. Let's raise interest rates as high as we need to. Obviously, in theory, he has no influence on this because it's an independent entity. But we know how this stuff works. And now we're seeing Jerome Powell make a big move. Today, they announced they did a 0.75 percentage point rate hike to control inflation. Now, for weeks, they've been setting expectations that it was only going to be a half a point. And then they leaked to the Wall Street Journal, hey, maybe it's going to be 0.75 point instead. And then, shockingly enough, it was. This is, of course, an attempt to get inflation under control because the Biden administration now can tell you that inflation, yes, is a thing. It's not transitory. It is here. And unless they do something drastic, it's not going away for a long time. So when you do something drastic, like raise the interest rates, you start to get a real headwind on the economy. It hurts your economy. Normally, politicians do not like to do this. But in this particular case, I think they're realizing that the next couple of years are screwed. And if we want anything positive to happen in 2024, we better do this as quick as we can. So hopefully the rebound happens before then and we have a chance in the next election. Now, Biden is, of course, still trotting out all of his nonsense. First of all, he's saying, oh, well, things are wonderful. I don't know why everyone's so confused here. I've added more jobs than anyone ever. Things are great. He has that. And then on the other side, it's weird because he keeps saying things are great, but then he's also blaming Republicans for things being so bad. He blamed Republicans for blocking his plan to fight inflation, which I might remind you was to spend another $3 to $6 trillion. That was his plan to fight inflation. You remember when they were talking about the Build Back Better bill? Actually, economists are telling us this is going to be deflationary. This is going to get rid of inflation. When you spend $6 trillion, inflation has nowhere to go but down. And literally no one believes this. Nobody. This is just nonsense. The only people that could get to say it were economists that used to work for the Obama administration. But generally speaking, Economists don't believe it, and you definitely don't believe it. The American people look at this and say, come on, we know how inflation works. This is not how it works. And we're starting to see this kind of echo throughout the economy right now. It's not just inflation. It's not just a very strange job market. It's not just supply chain issues. It's not just stocks. It's not just crypto. It's everything right now. Crypto, of course, it has the highest highs and some of the lowest lows, and they're starting to feel a lot of the pain. Coinbase is laying off 18% of their workforce as executives prepare for recession and crypto winter. Yes, crypto winter. It's a nice, it sounds fun. It's almost like nuclear winter, except a little worse. So this is the thing, though, and it's really frustrating to me as somebody who's been watching this for a while. If you watch the show, you may have been watching this for a while as well. We've been talking about crypto since 2013, 2014 a lot. And there's a reason for it. I mean, I think there's a real future here, and we've seen kind of an interesting road. There are a lot of big crashes, a lot of big, to the moon sort of rises over the past, 10 years or so. Now, of course, every time the prices go up very high, what we hear is, oh, it's just a panic. It's just a mania. And then when prices come down, the media only talks about people who bought at the peak. They will find anybody who bought on the day that Bitcoin was 69,000 and say, hey, how are you feeling now? Your life is ruined. And of course, maybe, look, when you make a bad investment, your life sometimes really sucks for a while. Of course, people who they covered in 2017 and 2018, they said, wow, when you bought at 19,000, you really screwed the pooch on that one, didn't you? And you know what? If those people held on, not really. Even after this most recent correction, where they're those people who bought at the absolute peak of the previous bubble are still up. This is something that, of course, the media does not want to tell you. And I don't know. I mean, a lot of this has to come from first cyclers who have never gone through anything like this and are like panicking, because when you lose a bunch of money in investment, the general tone and the sense, the pressure on you is to sell. You just want to get out of it. You just want to get out of it. But of course, that's never the right time to sell. There is nobody who advises you to sell low and buy high. That's the opposite of the good advice. So buying low and selling high, that is a little bit more doable. And of course, should be something that people think about. And you go to crypto for a second, because we can go this over the entire economy. But crypto is just the best example because the highs and the lows are so exaggerated. But it's like, has there ever been a $2 to $3 trillion industry that just disappeared? Are we really talking about this? Like in 2015, I remember I bought Bitcoin for the first time, I think it was 2014. Maybe it was 2013. I don't know. I think it was 2014. And I remember I bought it and it was like $600, $650 or something like that. And I remember thinking like, okay, maybe this is going to keep going up. And you know what happened? Almost immediately, it went down by like 2/3. I mean, I was at $200 in no time and it sucked. And I remember thinking, wow, that was a real waste. Of course, I tried to be intelligent about it and not spend more than I could afford to lose, which is what you're supposed to do when you're trying something, especially when it's a speculative investment. But as we all know, Bitcoin didn't stay at $200 for very long and has now gone up quite a bit. We're now at the point where we're looking at about 22,000 today. It's been up a little bit on the day. If you bought at the peak of 2017, 2018, you're still up. And it's just hard to imagine a $2 to $3 trillion industry going poof in the air and going away. I mean, do we have examples of this? People are like, oh, tulips. Okay, tulips had one very short meteoric rise and meteoric fall. There's not a tulip industry worth $3 trillion. There weren't tons and tons of billionaires invested in tulips. That is just not, there's a lot of love and attention and energy that has gone into this industry, and a lot of people really believe in it. It's going to be hard to make it just go away. Will it go back up to those, 69,000 anytime soon? I don't know. A lot of people believe it will. A lot of people believe it won't. But it is, of course, still affected by the sort of larger economy. And this is kind of the point. People go after crypto. Do we have the Bitcoin chart? Yeah, here's the Bitcoin chart. It's up a little higher than this as I record this podcast, but 21,174, that is down 56.69% in the last 6 months. And that, for lack of a better word, sucks. Okay? I don't like to lose 56.69% of my money. Do you? I don't think you do. But you have to take it into sort of the, you know, the overall context of what's going on in the country right now. Eventually, and we'll talk about this in a second, Bitcoin, I think, winds up being a store of value, but it's still a developing asset class, and it's maybe not there yet. You know, but when Bitcoin is down 56.69%, the NASDAQ is also down about 29.3%. And you say, well, I'd much rather be down 29.3% than I would 56.69%. And that makes a lot of sense until you realize that you were up a lot more than the NASDAQ was before that. And that's why you don't just look at something from the very highest point to the very lowest point. You have to go back and look overall. Despite all of this, what has happened in the economy the last 6 months? I mentioned the NASDAQ is down 29.27%. But what about like a core tech stock, something that people use every single day, the type of thing that, I don't know, supports the lifestyle of the richest man in the world, or the second or the third richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos? Amazon is down 38.7% in the last 6 months. I don't see a lot of people saying that Amazon's going to go away anytime soon. How about the darling of the pandemic, Zoom? Zoom is down 40.4% in the past 6 months. How about Uber, one of the most core technology stocks? We were told they were going to take over the world. What about them? They're down 42.7%. Not quite as much as Bitcoin, but still really, really major drops in these other stocks. So you could say, well, I'm going to be responsible. I'm not going to go into Bitcoin. Sure, I'll miss out on all those soaring highs, but I won't get those lows. But I mean, is the difference between losing 40% of your money and 60% of your money in a short period of time all that riveting to you? And by the way, that's if you chose well. If you chose Amazon and you chose Uber, well, you outperformed some other tech stocks. Like, for example, Roku, which is down 60.4%, more than Bitcoin, by the way, in the last 6 months. Or Lyft, the competitor of Uber, which is down 61.58% in the last 6 months. What if you bought Stitch Fix, the clothing company, down 64.3% in the last 6 months? How about Netflix? Here is the core of the new economy, down 70.78% in the last 6 months. And of course, I know you, you know me, we're both, I'm sure, just on our Pelotons all the time. We're just exercise junkies, you and I. I know you know that. It's so true. Well, yeah, that might be true, but the investment itself is not doing so well. In the last 6 months, Peloton is down 74.13%. The economy sucks right now. And here's the problem. You have Joe Biden, who's the president of the United States. Now, he does not, of course, control the economy completely, as we've been very clear about going back as long as I've ever done a show. The president is not the only person involved in the economy. But the president in this particular case has certainly not made things better and has made things worse every time he's had the opportunity, over and over and over and over again. And so when we're talking about, I mean, can you imagine what would have happened if he got that Build Back Better thing done? Can you imagine if Joe Manchin, who apparently saved all of our lives, I was very convinced Joe Biden wouldn't, or Joe Manchin would not save you, but I don't know, maybe he did in some ways, just blocking that $3 to $6 trillion of spending that the Democrats wanted to do. Just $1.9 trillion put us in this sort of position with all this inflation. Imagine if we spent $3, $4, $5, $6 trillion more. I don't know that we'd ever recover. It's really sad. But one of the things that you hear all the time about something like, for example, cryptocurrency is the idea that, look, it's too unstable. You know, it's too risky. It's the type of thing that screws people over. People are getting scammed and people are losing all their money. They invest money one day and then a few months later it's worth 30%. And that does happen. I will say, as a person who's been, you know, in these markets for a long time now, I am relatively immune to the ups and downs of it, honestly. Like, I don't even get that excited when it goes up. I certainly don't get that worried when it goes down. I look at this as a long-term opportunity. And, you know, if you're interested in that, you might see that as well. But, like, one of the things I will say to you is to look at this in... Don't be fooled by the media who wants to look at these things in little tiny chunks to give you the worst case possible. Remember, this is a thing that takes power away from the government. The media doesn't like things that do that. They don't like Bitcoin. They don't like cryptocurrency. They don't like the power going away from a centralized controlled source. This is bad for them. They're never going to like it. They're never going to praise it. They're never going to say it's doing anything good. But one Twitter user pointed out the truth of this. How unstable is Bitcoin? When you look at it, maybe a little bit of a longer term option. And what exactly is its competition? Let me give this to you. It's from BTC Kaz. In 1970, $1 bought you a burger. In 1995, $1 bought you a bag of chips. In 2022, $1 doesn't seem to be able to buy you a pack of gum. But yet people say, no thanks, I'll pass on Bitcoin. It's too volatile for me. Currencies need to be stable. Yet, on the other hand, in 2010, 10,000 Bitcoin bought you two pizzas. In 2016, 100 Bitcoin would buy you a car. In 2022, 10 Bitcoin can buy you a house. If that's the picture of an unstable currency, then please give me more instability.
Stu does America.
We spent a lot of time talking about inflation and how it's hammering the stock market. It's hammering crypto. It's hammering pretty much everything right now. So your savings are worth less because of the inflation. Now you have less money as well in your account. One of the assets that's held up really strong, and I guess this shouldn't be a surprise to people, is gold. So many of these assets have dropped off the market, off the map, where gold has not. Gold has held its value really well in this downturn. And Birch Gold is the company that I trust to help convert an IRA or 401k into an IRA in gold and silver. With Birch Gold, you can help fortify your savings with precious metals. They will help you do it in a tax-sheltered account. All you got to do to get information on this is text Stu, my name Stu, S-T-U, to 989898 to get started. Amazon, and what did we just do? Amazon is down, let's see. I mean, like, we just went through these. Amazon is down 40%, was it? Yeah, here we go. 38.7%. Zoom is down 40%. Roku's down 60%. Netflix is down 70.8%. All of these stocks have been hammered recently, and somehow gold has held up. Well, it's held up because it's been around for a long time, and this is where people go to store their value and to fight against inflation. You can text Stu to 989898, get your free, no obligation info kit on gold from Birch Gold. They are the precious metals professionals. Text Stu to 989898 and secure your savings now with Birch Gold. I'm joined once again by Glenn Beck, his newest special coming up at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's right after this show, if you're watching on Blaze TV. Tonight, it's Pathway to Servitude, the traitors who created the global supply crisis. Don't miss it. Glenn, how's it going?
Very good, Stu. We've got quite a show. I'm just going over some of the scripts, it's quite amazing information today. And if you think that the high gas prices and the inflation and your house and everything else, if you think this is bad now, just wait until everything is implemented. We did some more homework on it, and this has been in play since Obama got into office. And Biden is really just polishing it off. And I will tell you, I'm up here at our ranch, and so I'm just hanging out with the farmers and everything else. I talked to a guy who's been a dairy farmer his whole life. He's probably, I don't know, 65, 70 years old. And he said, I can't do it anymore. He said, the regulations and everything else that are happening, I can't afford to do what I've done my entire life. And a lot of people are quite nervous about what's happening to our farmland and Bill Gates. And he's now the largest owner of farmland in the world. And gee, why would he be doing that?
Yeah, because I mean, it does seem like we are up against something here. And I think one of the most fascinating parts of watching this all develop is we all see it hitting average people. We see people complaining about the gas prices. Everybody I think you talk to, this is by far their number one concern is inflation and the economy. And yet the approach from the White House is just, this is the best economy we've ever seen. I've setting records for how many jobs I'm adding. Everything's incredible. They were up until just the other day bragging about the stock market, and now they've lost all those gains. What are they trying to do with this approach?
You know, I heard a clip of the president say when he snapped at the AFL-CIO speech he gave a couple of days ago, and he said, I'm tired of people saying that, what we're doing is causing this inflation and overspending is the problem. He said angrily, we're saving people's lives here. We're changing lives. And for most people, they found it really weird and off-putting. I found it really weird, off-putting, scary, and also telling. What he's saying there is, we are moving forward and we're going to change everybody's life. And you just won't wait. You just want things the way they are. But this is a very difficult process. And, changing out of fossil fuels is not going to be easy. So shut the pie hole. I don't want to hear it anymore. It was quite telling.
The fundamental transformation of the United States of America. And it seems to be being continued here by the Biden administration. Have you seen an impact on just regular people? Because I think, obviously, I can see you're a regular person by your Nantucket sweatshirt. But I would assume you also occasionally engage with the lesser people. Are you noticing like real panic? Because I feel like I am. I mean, the parents that I talk to, the people who you interact with on a daily basis, they're just like, I can't do. I'm nearing the point in which I can't go to work on a daily basis.
I will tell you that several times now I have rolled down the window of my car and somebody else has said, excuse me, do you have any Grey Poupon? And I have said, yeah, but it's so expensive, I'm going to have to keep it myself. No, I talk to people. I was just with about 1,000 people last night, and I just took questions from the audience. And they are more concerned with, at least in this section of the audience, they are more concerned with the direction of the country and stopping what's coming than they are with gas prices and inflation. But I can tell you, they don't know much how much longer they can hold out. People are putting it on their credit card right now, and that doesn't go very far. And you don't want those high interest credit cards. And honestly, I told you Monday I had to drive down to Park City for a show, and we took the truck, and that was diesel. And I was driving behind the truck, and because they were bringing a bunch of the stuff, and it's just a regular, what is it? I don't even know. It's just a regular Ram truck. And we're taking it down. We filled it up before we left, and my eyes about fell out of my head. And then we got there 2.5-3 hours later, and the guys, they had to go to the bathroom, but I didn't know that. They pull into a gas station and they're pulling towards the pumps, and I'm thinking, I'm almost in a panic. Wait a minute, what? And I'm blessed enough not to be, living paycheck to paycheck. If I'm feeling that way, I can't imagine what the average American is. This is why we've said for a very long time, prepare, have food storage, go and buy right now. Because if you think it's bad now, it's only going to get worse. Go and buy anything that's on special, 2-for-1. If you can find it, buy the second one and keep it. If they're having a special on something, buy two and keep the other one for when things get really dicey. Because I think that's going to be starting this fall.
Let me talk about with you about your art show. I was out there for it on Friday last week. Tons and tons of listeners and watchers of Blaze TV were there. Really cool people. I mean, I realized when I was out there how much I missed that. I mean, since COVID, we haven't really had many gatherings, if any, and it was great to just kind of see people and connect with them. Are you liking that?
Oh, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I did a speech around here just last night. I had the art show. I'm doing another charity speech. I don't know, next week, I think. And I just love it. Because unlike every other place that you can go, that is not a small town. The people here are just good salt of the earth. I mean, I'm living in a town that, I think 43, something like that. It's a very small town. And, you know, the next town over, the big town, is 5,000 people. And they just have a spirit to them that they know who America, you know, they know what America is. They know who Americans are. Although they're beginning to question that, and they know that they are part of the solution. I mean, it's really tremendous to watch.
Yeah, it was really cool to
and
see
be around. It's infectious.
GlennBeckArt.com, in case people want to check it out, and you can get. I mean, you can buy the very expensive paintings, but you also have prints and other things that you can get there if you want to be.
Part of that. You can't get any of the. You can't get any of the originals, and this season stuff is not up yet. You can still find that at parkcityfineart.com.
Okay, check that out. Before I go, a couple of personal questions for you. Number one, you are living the green dream right now. You are you're at your ranch. You don't have access to normal electricity grids.
That.
Here you are surviving on solar power, and I don't know what other green stuff you got going on. What is it like? Is it working? How is life?
So I'm going to be real frank with you. It's taken me 10 years to get the power stable. Okay.
10 years.
And about $500,000.
Oh my God.
To get it all stable and working, because there's no power line running anywhere around here for miles. So everything has to be done. We've had to go and look for, I don't have air conditioning, and it gets hot here in the summer. We have swamp coolers because that, you know, we can't draw too much energy. We have to have a smaller than we would like refrigerator because it draws so much power. And we have the deluxe. Now, even with the deluxe, when the whole family is here, I'm here right now. So I can, I can leave the lights on, you know, at night or whatever. But when the whole family is here and we're using electricity, it's still dicey. It's not ready for prime time, at least at a price anyone can afford. I just talked to my ranch manager, who said, Glenn, I think we should get one more solar array and perhaps another battery. There might be some more transformers. And I said, you got to be kidding me. How much? And he's like, it'll be between 30 and 90,000. And I'm like, when the electricity goes and people have brownouts, you're not going. I am at a place to where I've state of the art, and there is a difference in my life here, a big difference in my life. When the average person has to have solar or wind, I'm telling you right now, they're going to lose their mind. They will lose their mind. I have to have ovens that are different because of the power draw, and they suck. It's very, very different and not ready to transition your life into anything that you would really recognize as, oh, this is just the same. In fact, it's better. No, it's not.
All right. I'm glad you last one here for you. I'm glad you brought up transitioning, because you're up at the ranch. You're up there on these long trips. And you're constantly raising money for kids' charities. I saw the way you were dressed on the radio program this morning. Are you transitioning into Don Imus?
Oh, I wish, because then I would deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. I prefer Kevin Costner.
Oh, okay.
My wife really, she really likes Beth, and I really like Kevin Costner. So, yeah, I mean, hey. If the hat fits, wear it.
Yeah, I see more. I'm going to say I see more similarities with Don Imus, but that's just me, you know, just looking from a distance here. Although I will say you're going to have to get, you are married to a much younger woman, and she seems to be eating healthy. So at some point, she's going to approach you with some healthy eating plan, which eventually ends in your death. Mm. So you should be aware that the Imus thing does not end well.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Stu.
Glenn Beck, new specialist, Pathway to Servitude, the traitors who created the global supply crisis, is coming up next, 9 p.m. Eastern here on Blaze TV. Make sure to subscribe to Blaze TV. It's the best way to watch. BlazeTV.com/Stu and enter the promo code Stu. You'll save $10 and you get this great back-to-back Stu Does America into Glenn TV every single Wednesday. Thanks for coming on the show, Glenn. Back in a second. Let me tell you a little bit about capitalism at work. America continues to be the greatest country in the world, sure, in no small part due to our capacity for innovation. Take Coca-Cola, for example. They're teaming up with the good people at Jack Daniel's for a new product launching soon, Jack and Coke in a can. I mean, you know, this is how does this not happen already? You know, we may be looking at a Four Loko situation all over again. That didn't turn out well, if I remember correctly. But that's what freedom does for you. The combination, the freedom to get absolutely wrecked from a single soda can. I will say it's kind of like the combination of mustard and mayonnaise, or mayo stirred or mustard mayonnaise. And then you have to combine those two into something else. But the bottom line is, if pouring two things into a cup is way too much work, you need it to just be done for you. I hope this particular innovation arrives in haste because, well, specifically because I want it to be here before July 8th. Why? Because that is the exact date of the freedom-honoring invention that I want on, yes, the 500th episode anniversary Power Hour. Every year has been a little sloppier and a little louder than the year before. And I think some Jack and Coke cans could really push this one to the next level. And here's the great part. You can witness it in person for yourself. Yes, we're inviting fans of the show within driving or preferably Uber ride distance of the Mercury Studios in Irving, Texas, to join us on set as we commit unspeakable acts of debauchery and capitalism. Your time is running out, though. This is the final week to submit your name and information for consideration as an audience member. So if you haven't applied yet, now is the time. It's free, by the way. We just want you to come hang out. Go to StuDoesPowerHour.com. Fill out the form. We'll be reaching out to selected fans soon. StuDoesPowerHour.com. Jack and Cokes in a can may or may not be available for consumption. Father's Day is coming soon. When is Father's Day? Do we know? Anyone know? It is this weekend? Mm-hmm. Okay, this weekend. Wow. That's pretty impressive. I'm going to get some great stuff this weekend. Maybe I'll even get great socks or a great wallet or, I don't know, a great belt from Grip 6. Grip 6 has great stuff for your dad, for you, for your dad, for any guy that you love. Check it out, grip6.com. And if you go there and you can kind of see this stuff in action, you can see these wallets are different. They're made from American sourced leather and aluminum. They have a lifetime guarantee. It's the best Father's Day gift you can come up with. Go to grip6.com/stew and use the code Stew to save 40% right now. Grip6.com/stew. These are wallets that, look at them. They're really cool. They have some of them have these loops on them so you can kind of pull them out of your pocket really easily. Stores the car. It's not like a George Costanza wallet. You're not going to be sitting unevenly on your seat because it's in your back pocket. Grip6.com/stew. Get an incredible 40% off today at grip6.com/stew. So we have this really obvious thing that should be done, which is protect the lives of the Supreme Court justices as they're doing these complicated and controversial decisions. Everybody agrees with this. In the Senate, it passed 100-0. So, I mean, it's not a controversial thing. Of course, obviously, there are 27 Democrats who voted against it. And we have the names here. And what I would say is it's basically the squad and squad adjacent people. You know, we've got Cori Bush. I'm not going to give you every name, but Cori Bush is in there. You got Pramila Jayapal, Barbara Lee. You got Brenda Lawrence. You got AOC in there. You got Ayanna Pressley in there. You have Rashida Tlaib. And of course, Maxine Waters, who is... She's literally making speeches about how you should harass people that she doesn't like in politics. So obviously she doesn't want the Supreme Court justices' lives to be protected. It gets in the middle of her fun games. So understandably, Maxine Waters on that list as well. It did pass 396-27, however. And so, you know, not only Supreme Court justices, but also their staff. It's important that they're protected. These are, we're in a weird time, and we need to do something about this. Now, of course, many people on the left don't want these people to be protected. 27 in Congress, a lot more on Twitter, just in case you were wondering. Republican Mara Flores won the House seat in South Texas. This is the first GOP win there in 150 years, which is pretty amazing, honestly. There's an 85% Hispanic county in Texas, and she won it pretty easily, actually. One of the things that's interesting about this is it's very short term. So the Democrats, now we don't know if this is them saying, well, we can't win this, or if they were making just a dollar for dollar bottom line sort of financial decision. But because of the way this is a special election, it only goes until November. So she'll only have this seat from now until November. Or at least now until January, with an election in November, she'll have to run for re-election then. And in between now and then, the district changes. So it goes from a Democratic plus 5 district to a Democratic plus 17 district. Now, she wound up winning this race yesterday by, I think it was 8 points. So a 13-point swing, a Democratic 5-point favorite in a normal time. Republican won by 8, a 13-point swing. That's not enough to cover what will be a 17-point Democratic lean in her new district. However, as an incumbent in a Republican potential wave election, she may very well have a chance to win that, but it's going to be a lot harder in November to win than this one was. And the Democrats kind of stayed away from it. They didn't put a lot of resources into that particular race. Elon Musk was asked what he would do when he's voting for president in 2024. It's an interesting question because no one has announced they're running yet. So I don't know how he's supposed to answer that exactly, but he kind of did. He said he was leaning toward DeSantis, Ron DeSantis. And it's interesting because here's a guy. This is the perfect example of everything that the Democrats are doing wrong right now. If you were a Democrat, you'd be so frustrated with this. Now, I am not frustrated with this. I want them to continue. I told you this yesterday when we were talking about the gun legislation. Chris Murphy's approach, which was basically go and try to find the low-hanging fruit that both sides could agree on, I don't like that approach because it might work. And I don't like what they're doing with these bills. There's a lot of people who can be won over on the Republican side. There's a lot of people without principles or spines over there. So I don't want them to be appealed to in that way. I want them to be appealed to in the way AOC does it. When AOC comes to the table, she just calls all of her political opponents and the people she's supposed to be negotiating with murderers. I mean, literally, she called Ted Cruz a murderer. Do we remember this? You tried to get people to kill me, was her analysis of the January 6th incident, after Cruz was trying to be nice to her. The bottom line is, you know, she's a complete disaster, and that's exactly who I want representing the Democratic Party, because I want their ideas never to go and get into practice, because they don't work and they hurt the country. So, yes, I really don't want them to be successful, and I want them to take on the AOC approach. Now, Ron DeSantis is saying, like, look, here's the basic stuff. You know, we can agree on some basic things. You know, he's going to lean towards smaller government, of course. He's going to lean towards conservative values. But things like, you know, preventing first graders from learning about all sorts of, you know, transgender issues is not something that's a Republican philosophy. This is basic common sense to almost everyone that isn't in the media. And so Elon Musk is saying, you know, he likes the business side of Ron DeSantis, likes the way he's calling out wokeness all the time, and say he's leaning towards Ron DeSantis. Also, Anthony Fauci, who we have not talked about on the show in quite some time. Very proud of us. But I thought we would mention this. He did test positive for the vid. Yes. Yes. Anthony Fauci, who was wearing 19 masks at all times, somehow caught COVID-19. Now, I will leave it to my friends here at The Blaze to dive into this one in a deeper way, because they're going to have a lot of fun with it. OK, but what I will say is, do we ever get to the point where I don't have to announce whether I got COVID or not? Why am I still seeing people tweeting, I got COVID. Please. Hey, everybody, I got COVID. I'm either vaccinated or unvaccinated. And whatever I believed before today, this sure reinforces that belief. OK, I got it. Why do I don't need to hear about all your weird health things. OK, don't tell me when you have IBS and don't tell me when you have COVID. I don't need to know anymore. That's that. There was a time, like, I remember when Tom Hanks got COVID and it was like, holy crap, really? Is he going to die tomorrow? And we all were like, oh, my gosh, this is a big story. How long do we have to endure this? Do I really need to hear every time? I don't hear people whether they test positive for the flu. I don't hear whether they test positive for all sorts of crap. But I have to hear about every time they test positive for COVID. I don't need to hear about your health stuff anymore. Tell your doctor, tell your family, stay out of the same room from them for a couple of days. Maybe stay home from work, play some video games, get the Xbox going, Anthony. You know, play some freaking video games, sit back, chill a little bit. But you really, I mean, you don't need to tell us. Don't tell us what your digestive system is doing. Don't tell us if you're vomiting. Just leave us out of your health. Thanks. If you're watching the show on YouTube, click like right now. Make sure you subscribe to the show as well. And if you're on podcast, subscribe there as well. Rate and review the show. We do appreciate it. 5 stars is the appropriate number of stars. I have to know, please, for goodness sake, please tell me what kind of vehicle you're waiting on. As a gearhead, I have to know. It's been 10 months. And I will tell you this. You'll know what kind of vehicle it is when I run you over in the parking lot with it. Okay? That's how I roll. I roll right over you. That's how it works. YouTube, you can check that out as well. We do really appreciate it. Dragon Lady writes, a day with Dan Andros is always a good day. I've hung out with him a lot. That's not necessarily true. And hell yes, as a member of the LGBT or the LBGT community, I despise Pride Month. I feel like I definitely would be in that boat if I happen to be in that boat. Brett writes, algorithmic engagement comments. Keep up the great videos. Yes, always type algorithmic engagement comment when you post a comment. So I know, you know, you're in on the thing. We're manipulating the algorithm robots together on YouTube. And Laura writes, you are the funniest person in the thing. I've always wanted to be. Well, I've always wanted to be the funniest thing in the person, but now I'm the funniest person in the thing. Okay, let's do okay, here's what happened before we leave. There's been this long-term debate over a small island between Denmark and Canada. And this has been going on for a long time, 49 years. They were going to draw a barrier between the two countries down this one area near the North Pole. And they kind of couldn't decide who owned this island. So they said, we'll figure it out later. So over the 49 years, people kept going back from like Denmark and they'd post a Danish flag on the island and they'd leave a bottle of whiskey there and they'd leave and they'd say, this is Danish territory. Then the Canadians would come back and take the flag out and they'd put in some Canadian bourbon or something, I don't know, and they'd bury that there and there'd be all sorts of alcohol there and flags. That was basically what it was. And it was kind of became a cute little tradition between the two countries. Well, now they're solving that. There's no more territorial dispute here, boys and girls, no, because they're going to divide it down the middle and give half of it to Denmark and half of it to Canada. And the part that really stuck out to me is they say, we're showing other countries how territorial disputes can be resolved. What we're saying to President Putin is we have the best way to settle disputes by giving half the land to Russia. I don't think Ukraine would be happy with that outcome.